Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Lori Smith. This is One Child to Be a Survivor to Another Restoration. And Monday morning, glad to be here, 7 o'clock in the morning, bright and early. And I just woke up a little bit ago, having coffee, trying to wake up here. And hope you're all well. Thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. This is a morning reflection, just looking at, you know, a survivor of abuse, taking a look at how I'm feeling. You know, I like doing these shows because it helps keep me on track. To keep going on my healing journey instead of putting it off. Keep looking at information that, you know, I find helpful, and hopefully you're getting something out of this too. And the chat room's open, and you can sit in there if you want to. I did post the link to what we're going to be looking at today at HAVOCA, H-A-V-O-C-A. That's Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, HAVOCA.org, under their Information for Survivors tab. There's a bunch of tabs there from all the, you know, all the articles and stuff they have there. And there's one called Feelings, and that's the one we're looking at right now that we've been working on for a while. So thanks, everybody, for joining me. I really appreciate it. And like I said, I hope you're getting something out of this too, right? It helps me to look at this information, reminds me of things that I need to do to work on for my own healing journey, and where I'm sitting, where I'm seated, if I'm sitting with my pain or if I'm not dealing or whatever. I can kind of tell as I'm going through this material. So hopefully it's helping someone else out there too. And we'll get right into this. You know, if you're a survivor, you want to make sure that, you know, you're safe enough to be listening. I say this on all my shows because you never know who may be listening who's just starting in your healing journey. And if you're not that far along in your healing journey, you know, this sort of information and anything about abuse of any type can really trigger survivors of abuse, cause people to be uncomfortable or, you know, sort of go backward in your healing journey, which you don't want. So, you know, you want to make sure you're safe enough to be listening. And if you're not sure, you know, whether you are or not, you can get that information at, lots of places, but two places that I know of. One is HAVOCA, H-A-V-O-C-A, HAVOCA.org, or also the ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse and Morris Center Program. They have a Survivor to Thriver workbook. I went through that workbook years ago. I actually did them on Blog Talk Radio here, just going through it. But I read that chapter, Safety First, a long time ago. It's like 60 pages long. But that's a free PDF, and you could also just read it right online if you don't want to download it. And it's free for anybody who wants it, and you can get it from ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse and Morris Center Program. So get that information. Make sure you're safe enough to be listening this morning before you listen to anything like this, whether it's my show or somebody else's show, to make sure you're safe enough to be listening. You're not going to hurt yourself or hurt somebody else or just have a miserable day being triggered or whatever because of listening to something like this if you're not really ready. So be sure and get that information first, right? Everybody else, listen at your own discretion. Topics of abuse are very sensitive. And what I'm talking about, I don't sugarcoat it. I just tell it like it is. And, you know, I don't try to make it sound better than it was or, you know, try to minimize and stuff like that. I have never done that. And so I have to, you know, I'm brutally honest, which is, you know, some people might find it disturbing, right? So, you know, information about abuse is very disturbing because what we survived as survivors of abuse was very disturbing. Never should have happened. No child deserves to be treated this way. Nobody does, right? Abuse of any type is incredibly wrong. So make sure if you're listening that, you know, you listen at your own discretion and make the right decision for yourself. So we'll get right into this information here. We are at, morning reflection. Let's just take a moment here. How am I feeling? How are we feeling? We could ask ourselves this in the morning. You know, I like to do a morning reflection to see how I'm feeling. You know, it helps me see what I might need to work on as far as my, you know, healing journey stuff goes. And so I could say, well, how am I feeling this morning? Pretty good, actually. Just waking up, so I haven't had a lot of time to think about it. But I feel pretty good. I'm not feeling really triggered or, you know, down or anything like that. Feeling pretty good. How am I doing on my healing journey? I can ask myself that question. Any particular things I need to work on? And, it was, you know, like last week was good. I felt pretty good. This week, I hope to get back into my books that I'm working on. I'm working on a workbook. It's for survivors of child sexual abuse, so it's for adult victims of childhood sexual abuse. It's called Wounded Heart by Dr. Dan B. Allender, and it's a workbook. It's a book and a workbook. I've been using that, and it's actually very helpful for me. I don't know if it'd help anybody else out, but for survivors of CSA, child sexual abuse. That's very helpful for me, so hopefully you're getting something out of it. If you do, I'm working through that workbook, and it's difficult, so it's taking me time to do it, but I want to get back on that. So it's something that I'm really looking to get back on to this week, because I had really put it off for a few weeks. I'd say at least 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. So I got to get back on that. So that's something I need to work on. Otherwise, I'm doing pretty good to take care of things. Also, self-care, you know, morning room. Just the last couple of weeks, I've been trying to really work on that. So I think I'm doing overall pretty good. Not feeling too badly about how the way things are going. So this is the kind of stuff that we can do to help ourselves to see the progress that we've made. You know, if we're making any progress, or if we're actually just sort of spiraling, or just sitting in a place that's not very good, right? So I like to do these morning reflections. We're looking at this article. It's from Havoca, HAVOCA, Information for Survivors. It's called Feelings. And we've looked at this lengthy article. You can go check this stuff out. But we're really kind of just getting sort of started in it. We're picking up with a section. You can listen to the show from Friday if you want to. But the next section is Common Faulty Beliefs. Because we were just looking at this section previously, affirmations, anyone, maybe. So they were talking about affirmations, and affirmations are, you know, they're good, but they can also be harmful if we're, or if a person, anybody who is, you know, looking at affirmations just decides to pick a few out and start saying them. If they don't match our belief system, they can actually do more harm than good, because if they're just not geared for us. We got to be careful about the affirmations, and I was talking about that on Friday. So you can go back and listen to that show if you want to. The next section here is Common Faulty Beliefs. So what they've written here from Havoca, they said, we understand that Chris Columbus and co. tortured themselves with fear and panic because of a faulty belief that they would sail off the edge of the world. But what about you and I? What faulty beliefs do we carry with us? So they said, here are some of the usual ones. How they work in relation to sexual victimization will be discussed further along. So they're saying here's the usual ones. This is faulty belief systems that we might have, or that we might be dealing with, right? I know that I had all kinds of faulty belief systems. I still kind of have the residual effects from that, and I would call that more along the lines with probably just trauma and just the aftermath of being abused verbally, psychologically, emotionally, just believing, you know, this little part of myself inside, these little wounded little children that I still have in there from so long ago, were made to feel horrible about themselves, about myself. And so I, you know, brought a lot of that into my adult life, obviously, and I'm working to correct it. It's a lot of work because I don't recognize a lot of it. I have to see it first, and then I can do something about it. So they said here, should statements. This is the usual ones. They've got should statements. Then after that, there is awfulizing statements. Then there's have statements, and there's human worth statements. So we're going to look at these. But the first one is should statements. They said, let's suppose I say to you, quote unquote, you should do better. You should handle your life better. You should take care of yourself better. You should get the dishes done. You should blah, 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 quote unquote. Is your automatic response to tell me to take a flying leap at a rolling donut or something to that effect? So whoever wrote this article actually has quite a good sense of humor here. That would be mine too, and no wonder. It is disrespectful for me to assume such a better than thou position. It's also illogical of me to assume that it is my job to run your life for you. And the word should implies a self-appointed superior ruler of the universe status, a very wonky notion. So we often use should statements on ourselves as well as others. Should statements cause emotional distress when they are applied to oneself, as in, I should have blank, right? I should be more blank. I shouldn't be blank, or I shouldn't do blank, right? These should statements that we say to ourselves, you know, I should have this, I should have that, I shouldn't have this, I should be more this, right? Now, people do this stuff all the time. Should statements may also mean I should blank, and if I don't, then I'm an enormous letdown. For a lot of, well, especially for people suffering from, you know, emotional wounding, right? Psychological trauma or wounding, emotional distress, emotional wounding. That kind of stuff is definitely, I like what they've written here because that's the truth of it. I should blank, and if I don't, then I'm an enormous letdown. It's too easy for people like us, for survivors of abuse, to take that on. You know, it's like, well, I didn't. That's why I like to sort of do this morning reflection, because I'll be thinking of all the things that I didn't get done, and I want to, in this morning reflection, in this show here that I like to do here in the morning, you know, I'll sit there and I'll think of the positives, just taking a look at the positives instead of just always being so negative and hard on myself. I shouldn't have done this, or I should have done this, you know. This takes place in my adult life, which then brings me, you know, like they said here, in this instance, the emotional distress will be greater, obviously. The I'm an enormous letdown part is a superb way to shape emotional energies into bummer feelings. So, that's very true. Instant karma, service with a frown. Should statements mean that life has absolutely got to be the way I say, or else it's horrible? And they are powerful emotion-shaping thoughts. So, they said should statements are a form of what is called absolutistic thinking. Thinking which is rigid and possibly even fossilized. Thinking that characterizes the phenomenal, or the phenomenon of the closed mind. Yikes. There are many common variations of should statements, and here are the three popular ones. I got to be blank or else I'm no damn good. I have to be blank or else I'm no damn good. I must be blank or else I'm no damn good. So that's just, you know, what they've written here is just, you know, yeah. I mean, it just sits right in front of my face because this is how I've been all my life just because of the way I grew up. And I wasn't the only one suffering in my home. This is just the way we grew up. All of my siblings and, you know, my parents abused each other and my siblings, we all were put through this hell. And by my parents who created the hell for us. So, you know, we were told we were no damn good, you know, as we were being beaten. And even if we weren't being beaten on, we were still told we were no damn good. So then me as an adult, you know, if I don't think that I measure up to what I'm supposed to be as an adult, you know, 51 years old, heading to 52, then I'm no damn good. You know, and what my parents told me years ago, and all the abuse that I suffered, well, you know, I'm just worthless anyway. You know, this is how easy it is to let this stuff eat away at our lives, you know. And it can if we don't get a grip on it and realize that, you know, we shouldn't be, we're just abusing ourselves more, you know, than we deserve to be because we've already been through all that. You know, we shouldn't become our own self-abusers. I mean, this is really horrific, you know, self-sabotage type stuff, right? And so I like what they have to say here. Very, very interesting. We'll finish the rest of this part up. It says, let's take a quick look at a typical should statement and then dispute it. I should have handled myself better than I did, quote unquote. Or in other words, I got to be perfect in most important things or else I'm a lousy failure. This is stuff that we end up saying to ourselves. I should have handled myself better than I did. Or in other words, I got to be perfect in most things or else I'm a lousy failure. It's just too easy, right? They said, don't take my word that this is a cockamamie position to take. Kick it around, dispute, debate, and seek reality. Here are the big questions. Do I know anyone who is perfect in most things, in most important things? Is this possible? Might I meet someone who is perfect? Is it possible for even one of the billions of humans on the planet to handle things perfectly most of the time? They said, no, of course not. Here's the next question. Why do I think that I can be perfect when no one else is able to be so? Am I the queen or king of perfection? In disputing, we challenge our wonky beliefs and hold them up to the light of day, rather than just passively letting them clobber us. We seek the aha moment in which we see right through them, knowing their falsehood. So shoulding, musting, gotta being are very hardcore mental pollutants. And should statements are also applied to other people and to life in general, and their emotion shaping effect can be much the same, as in, she has to agree with me on most important issues or else. Things must work out the way I want or else I can't stand it. Shooting is also called the tyranny or the shoulds, or quote-unquote masturbation. So it's really quite interesting. And, you know, this is just it, you know. That's what I started to do, really. Because in order to negate the horrible things, especially that my mother told me, my mother's really responsible for mostly the emotional kind of wounding, psychological wounding, as well as, well, she was my main abuser. And, you know, she didn't just say this stuff to me. I mean, she said this stuff to all my siblings. I mean, we were all treated roughly the same. It's just I was the last child. I was the last child around, and I was an easy target for her. And she couldn't relate to me. She relate to the older siblings better, even though she had abused them all their young lives. So I just kind of got the brunt, I guess. And she was more miserable by the time I came around than she was with the first children. I know that. So I got really kind of a double, you know, triple dose of her poison, right? Which is horrible but true. So this stuff, you know, I had to go around and negate, really, everything that, and I still do, because this stuff still pops in my head. Something's going wrong, and I mean, I have, you know, people have issues in their lives. Things come up, right? And job loss, whatever it is, you know, any kind of situation that comes up against us in life, which they do, because life is difficult for a lot of times, can be. It's not always just going along just fine and no problems. There's quite often problems that we have to deal with. But as abuse survivors, then we've got a double whammy because we have all this other baggage we're dragging along with it. Which then, you know, tells me that, oh, I'm just useless. I'm worthless. I can't do anything right. I'm just stupid. I should have been born dead. All the stuff that my mother would call tell me, you know, minus the cuss words here this morning. So, you know, I started to actually say, no, that's not true. I'm not stupid. I didn't deserve to be born dead. You know, anytime that sort of pops into my head, I'll sit there and in order to get myself grounded and back around to where I should be, which is thinking as a healthy adult, you know, is to negate what she said. Sometimes it's easier said than done, especially if I'm feeling down, like, and then it's more difficult. So then I have to grab myself really by, I guess, by my own, you know, shirt collar or whatever, straighten myself up and say, no, nobody deserves to be treated like that. It's not even just that maybe, you know, even I could say, well, I was kind of, you know, I was a bad kid, you know, whatever. I could be sitting there really kind of almost talking myself into the fact and convincing myself that I actually deserved what I got, right? And then I'm like, no. I have to literally negate all of that stuff, right? So these articles are really, really important. The rest of this we'll pick up. We'll take another look at this rest of this Friday. The next one is awfulizing statements, so we'll look at that Friday. You can go to the website and check that out, havoka.org. Next up, we're going to just take a quick look here at positive reinforcement. What are we doing right in our daily walk? Looking at positives and progress instead of just negative thoughts, right? I think that's important because, like, it's just too easy to get down on ourselves, right? So, what am I doing right in my daily walk? I'd say, well, just continuing on, you know, not giving up, keeping on the journey here, you know, not putting it off for 6 months or a year. It's too easy to do that and just walk away and, you know, put it away for a little while. Like, I have a drawer that I put everything in, and it's not a real drawer. It's just a drawer inside of my mind, I guess, or inside of my heart or whatever. Inside of my soul or my being, I guess, it's just this drawer that I stuff everything in, right? Because I don't want to deal with it. So, you know, I guess, what am I doing right? Well, I'm still going on my healing journey. I'm trying to do a better job of taking care of myself, which is really not easy to do because it's hard for me to want to take care of myself. because I have an aversion, right, to my own body, right? I have an aversion to myself, my psyche, because I see myself as a broken, wounded person. So I don't feel like I deserve to do anything for myself. It's like I don't deserve to even be here. You know what I mean? So why should I bother looking after myself, right? So I'm working on changing that. It's a slow process because it's a built-in thinking mechanism. Like, it's one of them faulty behavioral thinking mechanisms that I just grew up with. So now as an adult, I'm trying to work on allowing myself to recognize the fact that I'm worthy. You know, I do deserve to take care of myself, you know, to do the best that I can with what I have. You know, I mean, I don't have a lot of money, so there's a lot of things I can't go get done. I have a lot of dental work that needs to be done. Stuff like this. I can't do that. I can't even get any assistance with it. I've already checked into it. So there's certain things I can't do, but what I am doing is working on self-care as far as the stuff that I can do and trying to get in touch with that part of myself, that inner, because I do a lot of inner child work. So I'm trying to get in touch with that inner part of myself, that inner child, really the one that believes that that it's not necessary because I'm just going to die anyway, and it's who cares? I'm just worthless anyway, or whatever. I have a lot of wounded inner children still within me. And I'm still working with them. It's a lot of work, but I think once I can get to that place where, you know, I can comfort them and really, because I'm still working on it. It's a job, let me tell you. it takes time to do that stuff, and in order for it to stick and last, right? And so, until then, I have to just really be diligent about it and say, okay, all right, I'm taking care of myself. So these are things that I'm doing that I think are positives instead of just being negative, like, oh, I'm not healing fast enough, or things aren't working out the way that I wanted them to, and it's all my fault, and I'm just, you know, it's too easy to get down on ourselves, right? We need to look at some positives in our life and realize that we've come through some stuff that, you know, I mean, it never should have happened. And yet, here we are. You know, if you're a survivor, you're listening to this, we can have a positive reinforcement right there. We're still here. We're still going. We survived horrific stuff nobody should ever have to survive. So you have to look at your strengths too. The strength to be able to pick yourself up off the ground, you know, as a child. The strength to be able to continue on through teens and into early adulthood and try to take care of ourselves and do the right thing even though we weren't shown how to. So we're actually a lot stronger than we know. We just don't, I think quite often, don't recognize it, right? So we got to look at those positive things instead of just always the negative. We were looking at this getting started affirmations thing. I really want to start looking at that because I want to do some more affirmations, but I think this is important first just to look at this. This is from Hoboka, getting started affirmations. We looked at visualization, and I talked about that on Friday. The next one up is reminders. So they said you can place your affirmations in regularly visited places around the house. Like, you know, you can write them on sticky notes, whatever. They've got a whole bunch of stuff here that they're talking about. They said, or full sheets of paper, place them on the mirror you use to get ready for work each morning. While you're getting your body ready for the world, your notes are getting your mind ready for the world. I actually did that. My little mantra that I was saying was, I am worth it, I do count, I do matter, you know, and because that was negating my mother's voice, right, just negating all the horrible stuff that she told me was, you know, that I didn't deserve to be alive, and that I didn't matter to her, that I didn't count. This is, she told me at the age of 29, drop the bomb. I mean, I knew this all along. I was abused by her. The thing is that I forced her to tell me the truth at the age of 29, just kind of by digging at her a little bit, digging, because she was saying that we were so worthless, useless, all of her children, she didn't want any of us. And I said, well, your children loved you, Mom, you know, at the age of 29. She was so sick, and just a year before she died, actually, or a year and a bit before she died. But I said, your children all loved you very much. And I said, you know, that should count for something, right? Even though you abused us and you and Dad put us through what you did, you know, all your children, I could speak for us all, really. We all loved you very much. And so this is, she threw it in my face. No, I never wanted any of you. I didn't want children. I didn't care. I said, you could have let us go. You could have just let us go. When the courts got involved and you guys were busted on child abuse charges, why did you put us through this hell? You know? So at the age of 29, I forced her to tell me the truth, right? And really quite sad, but true. But so I had to go through and negate all of this stuff by saying, no, I am worth it. I do count. I do matter. And I actually wrote them on sticky notes and stuck them on my mirror so that in the morning when I was brushing my teeth or whatever, I could see them there. And that works, actually. It really does. But it has to be stuff that you actually do believe about yourself. It can't be something like, I'm the most important person in the world and I'm going to be a rich millionaire by the time I'm, you know, that sort of stuff. It's got to be something that, you know, you believe about yourself that you know is true to negate those voices, those poisonous, critical parent or abuser voices in our head that tell us toxic stuff that really isn't true, right? So, you know, pick your affirmations carefully, like they were saying here. And you can go and read this article, Getting Started Affirmations. So we'll pick up the rest of that on Monday. There's like writing power, people power, recordings, word power, list your qualities, affirmations from problems. Then there's a section after that called positive talk. And this is what I want to get to, but it probably won't be for another couple of weeks. But you can go check that out, Havoka.org, survivors/affirmations/positive-self-talk, positive self-talk. But you can find it under affirmations on the Havoka website there. So self-care, what are we doing physically, spiritually, emotionally to care for ourselves? What can we do to help ourselves, you know? Self-care, I'm working on literally trying to eat better. I need to quit smoking, but that's my crutch, man. I've been using that for a long time. But I'm working on the addiction part of it, so I'm actually doing addiction work now outside of this, doing this stuff here. And so I'm going to try to get to the root of it because it's not going to do me any good to quit because I have quit before. And I just start back up as soon as I think about the abuse I suffered, which is all the time. So it's too, it doesn't work. I have to get to the real reason why I smoke. But I need to feel it, and I need to get in touch with what the issues are. So that I'm working on, so I'm happy about that. And as far as self-care, just trying to take better care of myself physically, you know, and emotionally, right, all the way around. So there's these meditation gallery, Irving Studios, that's a Child Abuse Survivor Monument. If you type in Child Abuse Survivor Monument, it'll take you to a website, Irving Studios. There's a meditation gallery thing under there, under the Survivors Self-Help tab. And that's from Irving, Michael C. Irving. He's a survivor himself of abuse, and he's a psychotherapist, a counselor, a sculptor, and he's got a great website there. So you can go to that website if you want to look at some meditation stuff that's really cool. I like what he's got there. Coping mechanisms, you know, how can we cope? What can we do to cope? Like, just let's say I'm having a hard day today. There's lots of things we can do to help ourselves cope, and that you can find on irvingstudios.com/child_abuse_survivor_monument. It's got all kinds of coping mechanism stuff there, and I've actually looked at it before. I'm looking at it again because I think it's important to remember this stuff, go through it again. We're looking at containment and boundaries, creating physical boundaries. So what can I do if I'm feeling, you know, if I need to build and actually create physical boundaries for myself, because survivors of abuse, our boundaries were crossed. Every boundary was crossed in my home, sexual abuse in my home, and verbal abuse, emotional, psychological, physical abuse. So my boundaries were completely violated in every way as a survivor of all that type of abuse. Really, I mean, all the types you can think of, really. It's absolutely horrific. So I had to learn how to create physical boundaries for myself. So we looked at some on Friday. We'll pick up the next ones here now. We've only got a couple minutes left. Actually, we've only got about a minute left. Wear clothes or accessories that make you feel better, more protected or stronger. I do that all the time. I wear a lot of black, and black is a really strong color for me, and I like to wear black. I like to wear dark blue and black clothes, lots of dark clothing. Be aware of colors that give you strength or a sense of confidence. Using your body in no words, practice saying no, don't mess with me, back off. I do that a lot, actually. But I've been doing that for a long, long time, just self-protection. But use that body sense to say no to what caused the internal memories of old pain. Now, that's interesting. Now, see, that I haven't done. Use that body sense to say no to what caused the internal memories of old pain. Feel a physical and time distance between yourself and the old hurts. And see the distance between you and others. Really quite interesting. There's all kinds of stuff that you can check out. So we have about a minute left. Thanks, everybody, for being here. I appreciate everybody's tuning into the shows, and I hope they're doing helping you out. I hope they're helping you even just a little bit, right? And take care, everybody. Have a good week. You know, I'll be back Friday. Like I say, on all my stuff that I do, everything that I do, I try to put out the message that I, you know, you got to hang in there. You got to get help. Like, if you're a survivor and you're struggling and you don't know what you're going to do, or if you're just anybody out there and you don't know what, you're just suffering and you don't know what you're going to do, you know, you don't know how you're going to make it through the day, really. you need to get help. You know, don't struggle on your own. Don't suffer on your own. I did anonymous help because I don't trust people and I don't trust groups. I mean, I trust groups more than I trust individual counseling. So I don't trust individual people because of one-on-one, because of the abuse that I suffered. I don't like one-on-one anything, really. So you make sure you get some help. You know, call a crisis line if you have to, anonymously, whatever. Call someone. But you make sure you get some help, and you deserve so much better. You deserve to live just like I did, just like I do, right? So do you. Take care, everybody. I hope you have a good week. I wish you a really good week ahead. We'll talk to you on Friday. If you need anything, get a hold of me on Facebook. I'm usually around at some point, especially in the evening, later at night. And but in the meantime, take good care of yourselves and have a good day. Talk to you soon.